Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
The title of my message today is The Three Sides of Why. The Three Sides of Why. See, I believe there are three sides to the question why. The first side is the inquisitive side. The inquisitive why. The simply wanting to know something. Like when I was a kid, I would follow my dad around the yard and I would aggravate him to death with when he would tend his garden. Well, why do you do that? And, you know, why do you have to water it? And why do you have to till first? And I was an inquisitive why. I was just a guy seeking, a little kid, wanting to know what his dad was doing, right? Just an inquisitive, no harm, no foul, nothing to it except I was just asking my dad why. And same with my mom, right? And all of you have experienced that inquisitive why, where you're simply asking a question, looking for a simple answer. But then I believe there's also the accusatory why. That's the why that you ask your mom when she says you can't go hang out with your friends. And you say, why? Johnny's doing it. Bob's doing it. Sally's doing it. Why won't you let me do this? Or why are you grounding me? That's the accusatory why. That's the why that says, hey, don't you know what you're doing? Don't you know what you should be doing? Shouldn't you be acting like the other parents? You phrase that in a question that says, the question why, because you are accusing your parent or those in authority of you of something. Why are you behaving this way? And the accusation is you're doing something wrong. You're not acting right. And then the final why this morning is the desperate why. This is the why where we find ourselves in a position where we no longer are accusatory, we're beyond inquisitive, but we're in a place where we know that our total dependence is outside of us, that there's no hope, that we have nothing inside of us that can help us find the answer, when we realize that something outside of us is in control. So you go from the inquisitive why to the accusatory why, to the desperate why, the why where you're on your face saying, God, I need your help. Amen. I need your help. There are those three whys. And when you and I face difficulties, many times the first thing we say is, God, what's going on? And God's silent. And so then we accuse God, we get frustrated, and we demand a response from Him. Accuse Him of letting us down, yet God is silent. And then finally we realize, and we come to that realization that we need Him more than anything else in our lives if we are going to make it through this situation. This is the place where God wants you and I to get to, where we're at a place where we recognize we are 100% dependent upon Him and we have nothing on our own. And it is in that place where God simply whispers, trust me. When He's silent, when you first ask why, and when He's silent, when I make my accusation of why, God, why, when I finally realize that my hope is only in Him, that He is all I have, and that I'm nothing without Him, that's when that still small voice simply says, trust me. And so this morning, I don't know who this message is for. I don't know who needs to receive this. But if you're in any one of those stages this morning, you need to remember that God simply says, trust me. And I want to look at the book of Lamentations, starting with chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you the first 9 verses. I know it's a lot of verses, but I'm going somewhere. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked. Now this author is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had seen now the destruction of Israel that God had prophesied. And here he is being brutally honest. And he is acknowledging, God, I am absolutely disillusioned with you. What in the world is going on? What's happening? In fact, he gets to the place where he actually thinks that God has it out for him personally. That somehow God is against him. If you read those first 20 verses of chapter 3 of Lamentations, you're going, my goodness, this guy was down at the bottom of the pit of despair. And he was questioning God's goodness. He was questioning God's methods. He was questioning if God himself was even against Jeremiah, who had been a faithful servant. You ever find yourself in that place where you say, God, why is this happening? I've been faithful. You ever find yourself like Jeremiah where you've actually said, is God really for me? Because it sure seems like he's against me. You ever been in that situation where you were in that pit of despair and you couldn't pull yourself out? You just wanted to give up, not even maybe wake up the next day. You ever been in that deep, dark pit? And when you're down in the bottom, see, Jeremiah was writing these things. But what he lets us know is that he was in a point of desperation. In fact, the translation of the Hebrew word that's used the most within this passage is translated how, and it is used to express dismay. Just desperation, dismay. In fact, it's why the book is called Lamentations. And the early scribes and Pharisees and teachers actually called it loud cries. When you're at that place where your anger has turned to sobbing. You know what I'm talking about? You're at that place where your anger has turned to brokenness. Come on, somebody has to know what I'm talking about this morning. Where you're at that place where you were mad and you were disillusioned, but now you're at the place where you're simply broken. And instead of screaming, you're crying in tears. Instead of hollering, you're broken before God, crying out before him. That is the brokenness that Jeremiah is experiencing. That desperation. These are my circumstances, God. Where does it go from here? And this is what I love in Lamentations chapter 3. I want you to look at me at verses 21 through 24. And if this message is talking to you today, I want you to highlight or underline these verses. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Now look at that for a second. He's whining and whining and he's broken and he's in despair. But all of that changes in verse 21 with one word. And that word is what? But yes, God, I'm broken. And yes, God, I'm hurting. Yes, God, I'm crying. But, underline it, highlight it, put a square around it. This I call to mind. And therefore I have hope. I was in the bottom of despair, broken and crying out, and God simply said, trust me, and I don't know how to trust him, and I don't know why to trust him. And God is, Jeremiah tells us here that we have hope. Why? Because great is your faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Everything changes with that word. He goes from lamenting, he goes from crying to trusting. Trusting in the faithfulness of God. Yes. Faithfulness is defined in the at dictionary.com as strict or thorough in the performance of duty, true to one's word, promises, vows, etc. Steady in allegiance or affection, loyal, constant, reliable, trusted, or believed. Adhering or true to fact, a standard, or an original, accurate. That is faithfulness defined.
Amen.
Today, the cornerstone of our trust in God, when we're at that point of despair, is his faithfulness. Because I'm going to tell you right now from personal experience, God is not always going to tell you how you're going to get from point A to point B. He's not going to tell you how he's going to solve the problem, but what he is going to say is, trust me. And so why do I have to trust him? Why should I trust God? The primary reason that I can trust God is what Jeremiah said. Great is his faithfulness. Because my God is not like man that he should lie or that he should act like man. My God will never let us down. He will never forsake us. And he will never leave us out to dry. My God is faithful. I love that last definition because it says adhering or true to fact. Listen, God is the fact.
Yes,
listen, somebody received that today. God is the standard. He is the standard of faithfulness. He is the fact of faithfulness. He is the original on faithfulness.
Yes.
He is the only accurate definition of faithfulness. So if God is the source and the definition of faithfulness, then I must realize he can be and is faithful to me.
Amen.
Our God is dependable beyond anything that you and I can imagine.
Amen.
I can get up here and quote scripture after scripture to you about what God will do to protect and what God will do to save. But let me tell you something. The core belief is that our God is faithful and he is dependable.
Amen.
That's why Jeremiah wrote in 22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. That word translated mercies encompasses true love, grace, mercy, goodness, forgiveness, truth, compassion, and faithfulness. It never ends. It lasts forever. God is dependable. Look, your husband, your wife is going to let you down. Your friends are going to let you down. They're going to hurt your feelings. They're going to make you upset. They're not going to come through sometime when you want them to come through. Your job, your employer is going to let you down. But God will never let you down because God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means if he was there yesterday, he's still there today. And if he's there today, he's going to be there tomorrow. He is dependable.
Amen.
I need to know that that faithfulness will never come to an end. No matter how bleak a situation is, it is God's loving kindness that will always prevail because of his faithfulness. even with the nation of Israel, whom God had to destroy and chastise, it was his faithfulness that it has and continues to redeem them. They were scattered, they were assimilated, they were destroyed, but God has made them a new nation, and his plan for them is still in progress. So no matter where you find yourself at today, God will finish with you what he has started.
Amen.
You may find yourself in the desert. You may find yourself lonely. You may find yourself depressed and oppressed and afflicted. But God says, before you were in it, I was there. And even in the midst of it, I'm there. And I will be holding your hand when I take you out the other side.
Amen.
He always finishes what he starts.
Amen.
And he will ensure that you and I become what he has predetermined for us to be.
Amen.
God cannot be thwarted. God cannot be stopped. For when he sets his mind to do something, he will accomplish it. Great is his faithfulness.
Amen.
Our God wants what's best for us. I'm going to tell you, I've said this before and I'll say it again, and I hope someone here needs to hear it. God wants what's best for you.
Amen.
Now, I've told you, I struggle with that. God wanting what's best for me. Because I have an idea of what's best for me. And God doesn't follow my outline.
Amen.
And it makes me angry. Why, God, am I facing this? Why, God, do I feel this way? I have no control over the situation, and I have no control over how things are going, and it's just a mess. It's chaotic. Why, God? You surely do not have my best interests at heart. But God does have our best interests at heart. Why? Because he's faithful. Because he's dependable, we can rely on him to accomplish the purpose that he set for us. And the purpose he set for us is that we would be the best as what we could be that he has designed us to be.
Amen.
To get from where we started to where we're supposed to finish. To do what he has burdened our hearts to do. To accomplish the ministry that he's placed in your heart. To live the life that he's put you in the middle of. To do what God has called you to do. He has my best interests at heart. He is my portion.
Amen.
Jeremiah elaborates on this. In Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 16, he writes, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance, Lord of hosts is his name. As no matter how Israel sinned and failed God, God's plan for them was going to be accomplished, and God's plan for them was good.
Amen.
The key word being good. Because with God, it's not simply good enough. Oh, someone listen to what I'm saying there this morning. We had a saying when I was a government contractor, and I'll have to cut this off. We used to make fun of the feds. I am a fed now. But we would always make fun of them because they never wanted to pay for anything. And so we would always say, why do great work when good is good enough? Right? God is not satisfied with good the way that you and I see good. See, he elevates the word good. All right? So God isn't saying, well, just enough to get by, just good enough. We'll let them squander and waller and they'll kind of accomplish what I have for them to do. No, God's word of good is what he set forth will not only be good, it will be exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think good. Right? His greatness elevates the goodness beyond what you and I can possibly comprehend or understand. So God isn't a God of good enough. God is a God of so much good, you won't be able to handle it all, God. He's the God that gives you pressed down, shaken together, filled up, and running over.
Amen.
He provides that kind of grace and that kind of mercy and that kind of forgiveness. He provides that kind of provision. Because with God, it's never just good enough. Psalm 16, 5 and 6 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. God has your best interests at heart. But sometimes it hurts getting us to the place he has for us. Now, by the time we get, when we get to that place, we're having a party, tap dance, hoedown because of how great it is. But from that getting there, my goodness, I'm down to crawling on my knees, my tongue crawling across the floor, barely could take another step because I don't know how in the world I'm going to make that nuts move forward. Because God wants me dependent upon him.
Amen.
Look up. Because that's where my help comes from.
Amen.
Look up. Because your help comes from above.
Amen.
Look up. Because your help draweth nigh.
Amen.
Don't look at the ground. Don't look in the mirror. And don't look to others. Look up. And so this morning when we're asking ourselves God the questions, where we're in our despair, when we're broken and we don't understand what's going on and we're hurting and we know that we need God's help. And we're saying, God, why? Just remember this. The answer is always he's faithful. God, why am I like this? He's faithful. God, why did I get laid off? He's faithful. God, why is my boss a jerk? He's faithful. God, why am I sick? He's faithful. God, why are my children turn out to be heathens right now? He's faithful. God, why does my household seem like it's a mess? He's faithful. God, whatever the question is that I have for God, the answer is always, he's faithful. Whatever the question is, the answer is always, he's faithful. You say, well, Pastor Curtis, that's simple. That's easier said than done. You're looking at someone who suffered from depression every day of his life. I know it's easier said than done. But all I can tell you is I have to fall on my face before God and say, God, I don't know why I'm like this, but I know that you're faithful. I've seen people in my family sick and dying. And I say, God, I don't know why they're sick. But all I can say to myself is, God, I know that you are faithful. Someone hear what I'm saying to you today. I am not promising you that tomorrow is going to be all butterflies, rainbows, and sunshine. But I am promising you this, that you serve a God who is faithful, that will make sure that you get where you're supposed to go right on time. And he will do whatever is in his power to make sure that when you get to where you're supposed to be, you will be as effective as can possibly be.
Amen.
He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Someone say that with me this morning. He's faithful.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.